Change is happening faster than ever, and it's never been more important to know what's next. At Hogan Lovells, we're talking every day with clients and colleagues to conquer the most significant issues we face. And our What's Next podcast brings that dialogue straight to you. Today, Hogan Lovells Head of Legal Services Delivery, Stephen Allen, picks the brain of Andrew Arruda, co-founder and CEO of the groundbreaking artificial intelligence company, Ross Intelligence, about some of the great advancements and complex challenges facing AI in the legal field.
This is Stephen Allen from Hogan Lovells. Andrew Arruda, for those of you who don't know him, is an entrepreneur and lawyer. He's the CEO and co-founder of probably the best known artificial intelligence company in law, which is Ross Intelligence. Andrew is impressively both a TED speaker and was in the Forbes 30 under 30 class of 2017. So Andrew, you and I have talked on a number of occasions at various events we're both talking at. We've co-paneled. We have phone calls in the middle of the night to share thoughts and frustrations. And as we discuss, AI is possibly the hottest topic in the legal industry at the moment. There's a mixed reaction. You've got young lawyers nervous about being replaced. You've got senior members of the legal community trying to understand what the benefits and challenges are. From your position, Andrew, as both a former lawyer or still a lawyer, and as an evangelist and a co-founder of Ross, what do you think both the biggest benefits and biggest challenges are for AI in legal?
Most certainly, I think over the last 3.5 years of specifically bringing artificial intelligence to the space, I've had a pretty unique insight. I actually am going to start with the challenges first. And I think what's really neat about this is we're back almost in square one anytime we release new technology within the legal space. So I think a lot of the same challenges we've ever had before when introducing new technology, both in-house as well as with law firms, are going to be faced again. So that means having conversations around what's the best strategies around adoption and implementation. I think the added difference and challenge with artificial intelligence is the need to make sure that folks are educated and have a good understanding and a grounded understanding of what artificial intelligence can do and what it cannot do. And I think with sci-fi in the past and what many folks thought about what artificial intelligence was, a lot of the time we have these ideas that it can replace people. The truth of the matter is that it's software that can really enhance folks. And so I think the biggest challenge there is educational. In terms of the benefits, I think we're at a place where instead of just relying on machines to do the typing for us, we can actually start shifting the machines to do some of the thinking for us. So the benefits I really like to zero in are twofold. One, efficiency. So being able to accomplish more in less time, but I think most importantly, it's effectiveness and accuracy, ensuring that the work product you're preparing for your client is the best it could ever be, because these tools are capable of really enhancing what lawyers can do.
Andrew, do you think that maybe AI is suffering from a terminology issue? So we call it artificial intelligence, and it obviously has the whole background of the science fiction piece. But as you describe it, it sounds to me that it's more like augmented intelligence.
Yeah, I think there's a big challenge there. I think the challenge continues to be around the terminology, and there's different schools of thought. There are folks who think we should shift and start calling AI augmented intelligence, which might help just in terms of from an educational standpoint. But I'm actually of the opinion that we should call it what it is, which is artificial intelligence. That's what the engineers who work at these companies studied. You know, they studied in areas like machine learning, which is a part of AI. And I think it shifts to the technology companies and those in the space to provide definitions of it and kind of ensure that folks understand it. We're not seeing anything different than what happened around the introduction of email, the internet, the telephone, and every other major technological advance. The first bit is a lot of folks just getting used to what these things can do and what they can't do. And, you know, some of my favorite things to do is check out on the internet, the early reactions to the internet when folks thought it actually meant that computer systems could do everything, a similar reaction to what you're seeing now with AI.
And look, if we think about the role of the law firm and the role of the in-house legal team. How do you think AI will impact, either from a benefit or from a challenge point of view, the relationship between external counsel and their internal counterparts?
This is actually a really exciting thing about artificial intelligence right now. I think that AI can really strengthen the relationship between external and internal counsel. And I'll tell you why, Stephen. Here we have the capability and the now, for the first time in history, the ability for external counsel to work with internal counsel on these systems and refining them and asking questions as to how can we work together to either build these systems or train these systems or work, you know, potentially bringing in a vendor and kind of building out unique feature sets, et cetera. So I actually think there's something there in terms of strengthening the relationship in the development side. As for the more practical things that I'm seeing on the ground, I do see that what this means is that external counsel is now able to actually deliver and answer questions and deliver their workflow, like I mentioned, a lot more effectively, which was one of the pain points that in-house teams faced. And then from an in-house look at what's going on, and we've been happy to work with great internal corporate teams, they're able to now start using this technology and maybe doing some of the work that they actually traditionally had farmed out to their external counsel. So I think it's a win-win across the board. And I think at the end of the day, what we're seeing is that the overall work output has been improved by these systems. And I think we're really only on day one of AI in law. I think despite the headlines, there's really kind of these early progress that's being made. But even now on day one, there's a lot of great tools that can really further work. And I think that really can benefit both external and internal counsel. And it's something that I'm really excited from where I sit to see, you know, folks collaborating, which is always something that's lovely to see in the legal space.
If we can just kind of go on that a bit more, Andrew, because this is something you and I have discussed before, that there are some great things happening in the industry and there's some really fantastic use cases where there is the ability to do more quicker, faster, cheaper, to eliminate waste, to deliver a better relationship between internal and external counsel. I find one of the frustrations, and I think you kind of mentioned it there, so I'd like to pick up on it, is the general noise and hype in the market. And it's something that I find as an innovator frustrating. I suspect you do too.
Oh, absolutely. I think what happens if you don't have grounded conversations is you're going to have a lot of those tools that are doing a lot of fabulous things now almost be overlooked on this quest for the silver bullet technology that does everything. My joke is, you know, that technology doesn't exist. And oftentimes when you think of, and again, this maybe goes back to what we mentioned earlier about terminology and educating, AI sometimes is looked upon as it can do everything. And it is a bit frustrating, but I think what is really neat now is that especially, you know, external counsel is starting to get educated on this and folks in-house, because their actual industries are being changed by AI, they are starting to get really good practical understandings of it. So I think what we're seeing now is with that education coming a lot more practical conversations. But I think certainly, especially over the last, I'd put it last year or so, there's certainly been some frustration over some of that kind of hyper over the top language and claims, which I think don't really help anyone.
I agree. The other issue I think around AI is it's like any change. So as AI is developing, the AI industry is developing, we're seeing innovation. The ability for regulation to keep pace, I think probably more than any other innovation, is limited. So there will be some ramifications, I think, in terms of the technology being ahead of the regulation. For legal, what do you think those ramifications might be, either if you're an in-house practitioner or you're in an external firm?
Yeah, Stephen, you hit the nail on the head. I think when you said, especially, obviously this has happened in the past, but I think unlike other technological developments, these things are clearly outstripping the current regulatory framework in place. So what are the ramifications? I think there's a few, obviously. But I do think, not just pointing out the problems, I actually think I might be able to help folks a little bit on some of the solutions. The way I've seen folks dealing with AI is looking at it and treating it, okay, this is software, this is technology, and what can I rely on it to accomplish and what can I not rely on it to accomplish? And so I think when you start to think about it as software and as technology, you start to say, okay, well, how have I used past technologies? These systems might be capable of providing a first glance read over of documents or going through timesheets, for example, and highlighting things as internal counsel you might want to push back on, et cetera. But they still require that second look and that second glance by the human lawyers. And so I think when you think about the potential regulatory ramifications, I think as long as we maintain and keep the idea that, hey, no matter how great a system is, humans are always in that loop. And actually, it's actually better for both to do that. You get to avoid a lot of some of these pesky things coming up. As a total aside, though, what I think is really neat about AI and regulations in general is if you look at sweeping regulatory changes coming, things like GDPR, these new systems with AI at their core can actually help external and internal counsel raise their game and actually look at regulations and ensure that different areas of a company are actually performing and are being kept to compliance. So I think in a neat way, technology has really caught up to some of the complex regulatory frameworks. And if used correctly, AI could actually really help when it comes to ensuring that you're being compliant as a company. And if you're counsel or whether you're external, I think that's a fabulous thing.
Yeah, I think you're right. One of the challenges I think is around the way that because of the hype and because of the existential change that potentially this can bring is that too often people think of AI as almost a replacement for human in terms of the breadth of what it can do. And one of the challenges, and this is interesting from you, when you're looking at use cases is what you really need to do is work out what AI is good at and therefore how it can help the human being achieve what they need to achieve, rather than saying, okay, humans do this today, how can we replace them? When you're innovating, when you're in Ross Labs and you're thinking about this stuff, what's the kind of process you go through to think about potential use cases?
I love that question because I think that's really the crux of, and you know, it builds on a lot of things we've chatted about. What we do is we look at not only where these machines can perform, you know, in terms of what they can do today, but we also look at areas where humans don't necessarily outperform machines, which is where in repetitive tasks where you're either searching for information or you're organizing information. And so what we kind of go there, and then what really usually, which I think is why AI is a really great technology in law in particular, what we continue to see is that you have the areas that it's capable of really helping folks in are the areas that clients have traditionally been pushing back on.
Look, we have listeners from across a whole bunch of different industries. Most of those industries, if not all of them, will be impacted in some way by artificial intelligence, not just in the legal department, but from across the business as a whole. What do you think the key takeaways that each lawyer who's listening to this should take back and apply to their everyday lives?
We need to make something very clear. Artificial intelligence is not going to take your job. It actually is probably going to lead to more work in the industry. So that's a good or bad thing, depending on your look and your outlook. I think some of the other key takeaways that you have to have is stay curious and start to use this technology, but assess it with a critical eye. So, you know, hey, you know, there's a company that can do X, Y, or Z. All right, let me plug this in. Let me try it out. Let me see if it actually performs and helps in the workflow. These technologies have the power to really enhance what lawyers can do. So from an in-house perspective, what that allows you to do is ensure that you're actually being able to perform at a rate and get more out of the folks who are working there. And I know that's always a challenge, especially because, you know, in-house, you have to be a jack of all trades. And these technologies can really help you grasp concepts and find information quite quickly. As external counsel, I think some of the key takeaways here is, look, you know, your clients' industries are being transformed by this technology, and they're going to expect and rely on external counsel to have an understanding and grasp of this technology and also be implementing it in their own workflows as well. So what does this mean and what does this kind of leave us with? I think it means, hey, you know, we have to get out there. We have to try and see what these tools do. As with any new technology, if you think back to personal computing, cell phones, et cetera, there are going to be some that perform better than others. And so, you know, stay curious with that and try new things. And I think what's really great is since, like I mentioned earlier, we are in a situation where a lot of these tools can really help enhance where external counsel typically gets the most pushback and in-house teams, you don't want to have to pay for, you know, external counsel to spend 40 hours looking up a legal concept and getting you that research, these tools can help and it can really drive and enhance what your performance can be.
So looking forward a little bit, Andrew, we're all aware of doc review technologies and some of the information around there. What other applications do you think are interesting and listeners should be kind of keeping an eye out for?
Yeah, within legal, I think there's a whole bunch of possibility in contract analysis, contract creation, looking at different provisions. Where do we reach, you know, we always say yes. Where do we always push back? What is market? You know, that's always something that folks always talk, oh, well, this is market, this isn't market. So I think there's huge opportunities there. In the legal research arena, I think there's some great applications there. That's what we've been focusing on. You know, obviously e-discovery and some of the things around that have been using early forms of this technology. So I think those systems will only increase in their performance. But I think essentially anywhere, you know, knowledge management within law firms, as well as for in-house teams, I think being able to search and find information that you've used and actually get more out of your past workflows will be something that you see AI being and playing more a part of. So I think anywhere where you see that information retrieval and information organization, that's where you're going to see AI play a key role. And really, it's going to become as commonplace as an Excel spreadsheet or a Word document. And we're not even really going to call it AI. At that point, we'll just expect all of our software to be able to perform and do certain tasks that we never thought capable before. So the analogy I always like to say, Stephen, is, you know, the first cell phones that came out that you plugged into a car or you had, you know, you had a literal carrying case with a battery in it, you called that a cell phone. And I still call my cell phone a cell phone today. But what I expected from a cell phone 20 years ago or 10 years ago is very different than what we expect from it today. And you're going to see the same thing play out with AI within software across every industry. And I think particularly in law, because law centers around that information retrieval and organization, and that's where AI excels.
So Andrew, just as a kind of closing point, you've lived part of your life as a lawyer. You've lived part of your life as an entrepreneur. Much of your time as an entrepreneur has been spent learning, trialing stuff, failing quick, and moving on. What lessons are there you could share with lawyers to be able to change the perception in how they work, to be able to get the most out of new technologies?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I realized is, and I suffered from it before when I was not really involved in the space, is that lawyers often will look at technology in two lights. One, this thing is not going to be able to work at all, and it's going to be useless, and I'm not going to have to use it. And on the other side, this thing is going to be so amazing that it's going to replace what I do and replace my job. And I think if I could offer one piece of advice is to kind of stop thinking in those black and white type ways and to think about these new technology advances as somewhere in the middle, meaning they're going to be able to offer a lot of great kind of additional tools into your workflow, but it still relies on you, A, to work and adapt and change to these tools. So, you know, it's not going to be a silver bullet. But that being said, and why I think it's so exciting and why you see industries changing so quick, technology is now capable of mimicking things like thinking and reading. And that means what we're going to be able to accomplish as a profession is going to be absolutely incredible, but it is going to take that adoption and implementation. So it requires all of us get behind it and get to work. So I think the biggest thing for me is not to think of technology as a silver bullet. It still obviously includes us. And at the center of all these systems is the human lawyer. And so don't be scared and I guess get out there and stay curious and start using some of these new tools. And some will work, some will not, but it's all about finding what works for you and your workflow.
Okay, Andrew, thank you so much. I think you've given us some real insight into the potential of AI to enhance what we do within the industry. You've probably given some succor to young lawyers that their jobs aren't going to be replaced.
Thank you, Stephen.
I just want to finish up by thanking everyone for joining us today and ask people to stay tuned for our upcoming episode, which will feature a further conversation with Hogan Lovells and our clients about what's next.
For more information on this topic or to learn how we're helping other clients solve their toughest problems, visit HoganLovells.com. Music for this podcast was created by Jazzar. Check out their library at BetterWithMusic.com.